We're continuing the Shir on Likutei Halachos, Or HaChaim, Chelek Aleph, Hilchos Tefillah, Halacha Dalet, Paragraph A. We're in the middle of a halacha which Rav Nelson Zal is basing on Sipurei Maaseiyos, on the story of the Baal Tefillah. And in the previous Shir, Rav Nelson Zal started going over the different groups, each one of them who made a mistake, where they took something that's really important and really special, and they twisted it, they perverted it, into the opposite of that. And Rav Nelson Zal mentioned that this is based on what's brought in Sifrei Kabbalah, that when Hashem first created the world, there was a Shvira Sakelim, and the holy, holy Midos of Hashem, the light from Chesed and Gvura, from all of these holy places, fell down into the Tumah, into the Sitrachra. So now, instead of having Chesed Digdusha, we have Chesed of the Sitrachra. And it's we see there in the story, Rabbeinu Zal tells how this manifested itself. How So we went through two groups, and now Rabbeinu Zal continues. V'chein hakat she'omru she'niuf hu atachlis. And so too, in the story there, Rabbeinu Zal says there were a group of people that got together, and they came to the conclusion that the most important thing in life is niyuf. That's the goal. Ze hatous mavur lakoil mehechanu nimshach. Rav Nelson Zal says this mistake that they got to, anybody can understand what the origin of this is in kedusha. Ki yodua shemitzvus periyah v'rivya hi mitzvah rishona shebatorah. Because we know that the first mitzvah that Hashem gave us is to perpetuate mankind, for people to have children, and their children should have more children, which requires marriage. It requires a kesher between zochar and nekeva. Because as the Gemara says, ki loy toyu boro l'sheves yotzra, Pasuk in Yeshaya, chapter 45, that Hashem did not create the world to leave it empty. Hashem created the world because he wanted the world to be settled, l'sheves, to be settled with what? With people. Hashem wants the world to continue to exist. Alkein mitzvah lifrois velirvois. Therefore, it's a mitzvah, and it's the first mitzvah that a yid should feel a responsibility, an achrayis, to continue to bring more yidden into more people into the world. Aval ein tzrichen lasik boze ki im bishvil ki im hamitzvah levad. However, this has boundaries to it. And even though this is a mitzvah, and even though it's important that a person be involved in this mitzvah only for the sake of the mitzvah, for fulfilling the mitzvah with holiness and purity. Kimavur bekol hasforim akdoshim, as is explained in all of our sforim, in the Gemara, in the Shulchan Aruch, in the Sifrei Musar, in Sifrei Kabbalah. Vehem, whereas the people of that group, megoidel ta'avosam, because they allow themselves to follow their own personal lusts and desires, they weren't doing it because Hashem said so, mipnei shehatoyer amra, they were going after what they want, what their personal desires are, hitu esdato min hoemes. That caused them to make an intellectual mistake, to make a mental mistake. We've learned this. This is one of the things that's stressed throughout Rabbeinu Zal's forum. People don't realize how important, how critical is the connection between the brain and the heart. Those two are glued together. They're inseparable. There are people that think that they can be smart and intelligent. How are they going to be smart and intelligent? They're going to study. They're going to go to school and more school and more school and university and law school and all of these schools, and they're going to become very, very smart, and they're going to know more than anybody else, and therefore they're going to be more successful in life, because the more you know, the more you know, with more knowledge, you know what to do and what not to do, right? Wrong, 100% wrong. Rabbeinu Zal and all the Sforim emphasize that the brain is attached to the heart. The heart is the place where the battlefield between Yetzer Toiv and Yetzer Hara, where they're fighting it out, the good desires and bad desires. And it's only to the degree that a person is successful in being magabir, the Yetzer Tov over the Yetzer Hara, in doing the right thing, in fighting to control the desires, the lusts of the Yetzer Hara, fighting to control that, and fighting to support the Yetzer Tov, to that degree, when that person studies, when they use their brain, they're going to come to the right decisions, to the right conclusions. They're going to be able to take all of that knowledge that they feed into the brain and use it to guide them to do good things, to be matzliach, to be successful. But if not, if a person's heart is messed up, if a person's following their taivis and midos rois and all of that, no matter how much knowledge they get, Svetgornish Telfen, it's not going to help at all. With the knowledge, they're going to make big, terrible mistakes. Even Begashmias, we see this every day around us. We see people who are very rich and very big and everything, and they take very, very big falls. And a person wants to say, why? How did it happen? What happened? He lost his mind? What? Makara. And the answer is, they don't realize it, that there's a concept of Oysher Shomor Lebola of L'Rosoi, that the Yetzer Hara sometimes will let a person climb the ladder. He'll let him climb to go very high, where it seems as if he's being successful, so that when he falls, it'll make a big bang. It'll make a big splash, a bigger splash. He doesn't realize that it's the Yetzer Hara that's letting him seemingly go up in order, chas v'shalom, to take a big fall. So here, Rab Nosson Zal makes this clear, that the correct way about this is when a person is doing it for the sake of Kiyom HaMitzvah, Kedusha V'Tahara. But heim migoydel ta'avosom, because they gave in to their taivos, because they let their taivos control them, not their brain, they allowed their desires to lead them wherever they went, hitu es daitom in hoemes. That caused them, that blinded them, not to be able to see the truth, not to be able to make sense out of things. There's a pasuk, ki hashoichad ya'aver einei chachomim, that bribes can blind even a smart person, an intelligent person. All the Sifrei Musa write that this world, the gashmius of this world, is called shoichad. That word shoichad doesn't just mean money, it's money, kovod, Taivos Rois, Midos Rois, that's all in that category of Shoichad. And this Shoichad, if a person allows himself to follow, to go after that Shoichad, then it'll blind him. No matter how smart he is, he'll wind up making the wrong decisions and burying himself. And then the Pasuk says, Ivel Esodom Tesalev Darkoi V'al Hashem Yizaf Liboi. His own stupidity messes him up, and then he says, why did Hashem do this to me? Why did things go so... He doesn't know, Hashem didn't do anything. You did it to yourself. By allowing yourself, by not being in control of yourself, by allowing the taivos to run rampant, Chas V'Shalom. Ad She'omru She'zeh Ikra Tachlis. To the point where these people got to a level where they said, this is the goal in life, this is the purpose, as much as possible to mix men and women. Rachmona litzlon mehai daito, umikol de esem horois, rachmona lishezvan. May heaven help us and protect us from this kind of logic, from this kind of ideology, and from all of their mistakes. Paragraph Vov. V'chein hakat shomru sheze sho'oichel ma'at ve'einoi nizoi mimacholem shel shar b'nei odom hu roi liois melech. In the story over there, the Baltfila that Rabbeinu Zal tells, he tells of a group of people who got together and they tried to figure out what's the most important thing in life and who's the person who's best qualified to be a leader. And they came to the decision that the person who's most qualified to be a leader is a person who can control their eating. We know most people have a problem with eating, that they're driven. Whatever, you put something in front of them, they have to eat it. You put more, they have to eat it. And people eat garbage, junk food, and all kinds of terrible things where people hurt themselves. So these people came to the conclusion that if they could find a person who doesn't eat what other people eat, he doesn't eat junk, he doesn't eat the standard stuff, but rather he eats little, very little, and he eats only special foods, that shows that he has tremendous self-control, and that shows that he's qualified to be a leader. U'bocharu lohem l'fi sho, oshir l'melech. And even though they couldn't find exactly what they were looking for, they couldn't find that exact kind of person, Rabbi Nizal tells over there in the story that they chose somebody that they thought comes close to it. And the person happened to be a rich person. Rav Nosson Zal says now, Zeh ho inyan yecholen lohoven ktsas inyan hatos hazeh mehecho nimshach. That whole story, we can also understand a little bit what the source of this is in Kiddusha, where this originates from. Where were they able to get such an idea that that a person who can do this, he's qualified to be a leader? Now Rav Nosson Zal gets very serious over here. He's going to talk about something very touchy because he's talking about Jewish leaders, leaders in Klal Yisrael, in the Orthodox world, in the Haredi, in the religious world. Ki yesh tzadikim amitim shehem kedoshim be'emes. First, Rav Nosson Zal says, there are tzadikim, true tzadikim, who are really holy, v'shavru taivos achila be'emes legamri, and they succeeded in overcoming the desire for food completely, where the food doesn't control them at all. You can put anything in front of them and they can say, no, not interested. Even if they're hungry, nothing. They're in complete control over themselves. Ad she'enom yecholim le'chol kim ma'at de'ma'at. To the point where these tzaddikim have trained themselves to eat less and less, to live on the minimum she'beminimum that the body needs to be able to support the neshama, period. They know that the body is an assistant. The body isn't the big shot. He's not important. He's not in charge. He's the last guy we're putting in charge. The body is in the back. He sits in the back. The driver is the neshama. The neshama is going to make all the decisions, everything, every inch of the way. The body is only there to serve the neshama. And in order for the body to serve the neshama, we got to keep him alive. We can't let him die, but we got to control him. And one of the ways that we control him is that when it comes to food, we give him the minimum, the barest minimum that he needs to exist. To exist. V'gam zeh hama'at she'ochlin hu b'kiddusha neiro. And even that minimum that these tzaddikim eat, they eat it with incredible holiness. At shekol ma'acholam u'mezoinam, einoi ma'achol u'mozoin she'olam nizan imenu. To the point where their food, their drink, is not the same as what other people have. Their food is on a completely different madrega. Their food is karbonos. The Gemara speaks about this. The Gemara says that during the time that we had a Beis HaMikdosh, when a Jew would do an Aveira, they would bring a korban on the Mizbeach, and that would forgive their sins. Today that we don't have a Mizbeach, shulchonoi shel odom mechaper kemizbeach. A Jew's table can be as so holy that it can serve like a Mizbeach. When that person is eating and drinking, his food is korbonos, his drinks is nesochim. Who's zoche to that? The great tzaddikim. The great tzaddikim who are zoche to have self-control, where they don't eat it because it's there, they don't eat it because they eat only in order for the body to be able to serve the neshama. That's the only reason they're eating. Or they'll eat on Shabbos or Yontif or a Sudas Mitzvah out of respect for Hashem, out of respect for the Torah. Nothing personal, nothing to do with personal desire. I want Hashem. That's the only thing they want. They want Hashem, they want mitzvahs, they don't want cake, chocolate, steak, all of that doesn't come into the realm of desire for them. They've eliminated those desires totally. Ki ma'acholam hu bebechinas mon, and the food that these tzaddikim are eating is on the level of mon, shehu bechinas lechem abirim ochalish, as the pasuk says in Tehillim chapter 78, that there are people, there are tzaddikim who eat angel food, ain lechem abirim, food of the angels. This is the kind of food that angels draw nourishment from. It's on such a level of holiness that angels who have no body at all, they're completely spiritual, they can draw energy from this food. That's how holy this food is. This is the food of the holy, holy tzaddikim. Bebechinas, as it says in the Mechilta, that the only ones who are really zeicha to receive the Torah are people who eat mon. So you say, what do you mean? Today, what about all the people that don't have mon? The answer is there are tzaddikim today who eat mon. Their food also, they don't look at it. To them, it doesn't matter what it looks like. It's a minimum, a small minimum that they eat only to unite the body and the neshama. Ukemavur b'sefer Aleph Beis, as Rabbeinu Zal brings in Sefer Amidos, Ois Aleph Achila Simen Hey, Mi Shelimudoi b'moichen zakim, Ad shehu nizoin mimachol shamacholam nizoin mimenu. A person whose brain is pure. How is his brain pure? Because this person eats the kind of food that angels eat. So we see that that's what defines the purity of a person's brain. V'chein mavur b'tvorav zal, and Rabbeinu Zal also brings in Likutei Moran, Torah Lamed Aleph, sheyecholin lizkois al yidei ribui hispoidedus v'kisufin l'Hashem Yisborach, that a Jew has the ability, by having a lot of hispoidedus and tremendous yearning for Hashem, shayidei ze oisen efoshois, that though that yearning, that deep yearning and longing for Hashem, creates souls. Rabbeinu Zal speaks about nekudois hakesef, that the kisufin create nekudois. Nekudois is the vowels which are what make the letters move. That's what gives life to the oisios, to the nefoshois. Vaydeze zoichin sheyie kol ma'acholoi bebchinas lechem aponim. And Rabbeinu Zal writes there that when a Jew is zoiche to have a lot of hispoidus and to really have deep yearning and longing for Hashem, that person is zeicha that when he eats, his food is like the lechem haponim in the Beis Hamikdash, the holy breads that were on the shulchan in the Beis Hamikdash, the miracle food that was in the Beis Hamikdash at that time, kimavura b'hatoyra islan bira bedabra, as is brought in chapter 31 in Likutei Moran. V'chein mavura b'hatoyra tefila lechavakuk, and we find also in another chapter in Likutei Moran, chapter 19, that Rabbeinu Zal says, Shayidei Shleimus Loshna Kodesh, that when a Jew is zeichet to perfect the dibur, the words that come out of his mouth, that all the words that come out of his mouth are Kedusha, holiness, Loshain HaKodesh, he's only speaking words of Kedusha, through that the person is zeichet to tikkun HaBris, because the Bris HaMoer and the Bris HaLoshna are connected, Ayidei Zeh Zeichem, Shekol ma'achola v'tanugov enoi kiim me'ha'hisnoitzitzus ho'oisiyas ha'gdoishim sheba'oisei ha'dovar shu'oichel v'shoise. Then that person gets to a level that when he's eating and drinking or having any physical pleasure, his nourishment is not coming from the physical food, it's coming from the letters, the holy letters that are found in the food or in the drink. That's where he's drawing all of his nourishment from. Nimtza, we see therefore, shezeh hatzadik shezeichel ozeh, einoi oichel v'shoise maichel omashke shel shar b'nei adam klal. A tzadik who's on the level that we've described here, that person is not eating the same food as other regular people are eating. Rak hu oichel v'shoise oisiyos kedoshos. But rather, he's eating and drinking letters, shehein bechinas nefoshois kedoshois, which represents holy souls. Shehu bechinas pnimiois chias hamaychol. That's the spiritual part of the food. Shemishom ikar hachius hapnimi. That's where a person draws life. That's where he draws energy to support his neshama, his soul, the battery of the whole person. And Rav Nosson Zal says, we have written in our Sforim an awesome story about a tzaddik who got to this level. That the tzaddik, Rabbeinu Zal told a story about a tzaddik who was eating, and as he was eating, he saw shekol halechem shoyamunach lefonav hayakula yosius. They put bread in front of him, and he saw that the bread was wall-to-wall letters. It was all letters, meaning he saw past the gashmias. He wasn't looking at the gashmias at all. He saw only the ruchnias in the food, and that's what he attached himself to. Nimtza, so based on what we've explained here, we see sheyesh tzadikim amitim, gedoilim ko'elu, there are true tzaddikim, true great tzaddikim, shema'acholam einoi klal maichol sheze oilam, where their food is not from this world, from this physical, materialistic world whatsoever. Their food is, it's mon, it's lechem en hashamayim. Umizeh, and if those that read about Rabbeinu Zal's life story, how Rabbeinu Zal, when he was a child, decided, he saw the world, he saw what was going on, and he understood that the neshama and the guf are on two sides of a seesaw. When this one goes up, in order for this one to go up, this one has to go down. They can't both be up at the same time. The body and the soul have two opposite netios. The soul is noited to ruchnias. The soul wants mitzvahs, avodas Hashem, Torah, tefillah. The body wants gashmias. So they're pulling in two different directions. So the only way for the soul to really climb is by subduing the body, pushing the body down, 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 lowering it. Not necessarily destroying it, but lowering it, controlling it, squeezing it, making the body the minimum in my life, so that my neshama should be the maximum in my life. And Rabbeinu Zal said he started dealing with things one at a time, the different taivas. And when it came to food, he realized that this is one of the major issues. We know that on page one in the Torah, Adam and Chava, their michshel was food, Eitz Hadas, Tov Ra. They were told, don't eat this, and the Nochash tried to do everything he could to get them to eat it. So, and if you look throughout the Torah, everything in Yiddishkeit is all about food. Everything, a wedding, a bris, a bar mitzvah, all sudas mitzvah. Shabbos, yontif, it's all food, food, food. Pas shachris, everything is food, food, food. But it's all food, achila digdusha. And Rabbeinu Zal as a child realized this, and he started trying to avoid drawing any physical pleasure from the food. So how do you draw physical pleasure from the food? When you chew it and swallow it, as you're chewing, we know there's the salivary glands that work, and that gives the person the experience of tasting the food. The taste, which is one of the five chushim, one of the five senses, comes especially when you chew the food. If a person swallows something whole, then you don't really get to taste it. So Rabbeinu Zal said, this is a great trick. I'm simply going to skip the chewing part so that there won't be any taiva. I won't taste the food at all. And he started swallowing his food whole, and his throat got swollen in the process. The throat isn't used to that, you know, swallowing. You know, one of the reasons why we chew the food is also for it to be able to go down these pipes. Because he wasn't chewing, it put a strain on the throat, and his throat got swollen, so he saw that that was an issue. That, and he figured out all kinds of ways around being able to feel, to experience any physical pleasure from eating. This is as a child. 5, 6 years old, he was doing things that some rabbis are doing when they're 40, 50, or 70 years old. Rabbeinu Zal, these were the things he did in his childhood. So Rav Nosson Zal says, "Umizeh nimshach hatos shel hakatanal," and this was the source, the basis for the mistake of that group, she'etzlom nofal ho'emes kanal, where by them, because they were following their taivas rois and midas rois, this emes, this truth, fell at shebocharu b'tzvuim v'shakronim hamizdam nenatzmon kekoif b'mnei odom, to the point where they chose phonies, liars, people who make believe that they're tzaddikim. They make believe that they're totally spiritual, that they don't feel, they don't want to feel any desire, any taiva from the food. They imitate the true tzaddikim like a monkey, like an ape, to ape somebody like. Well, you know, you look at a monkey, sometimes a monkey can make believe, can act like a person. He's doing much the same motions as a person. But we know this is an animal, and that's a person. And they're billions of miles apart. Here also, you have humans, you have people sometimes who want to make believe that they're tzaddikim. They want to make believe that they've conquered their time. They want to convince people that they're big tzaddikim. So they put on a performance like this, where they act as if also, as if they, umargilen atzmon lechavat, they train themselves to eat little, machmas gadlus v'gasas saruach. But they're not doing it to please Hashem. They're not doing it to become spiritual. They're doing it to be looked up to, because they want people to consider them an admor, a rebbe, a great tzaddik. Look at the tzaddik. Look how he eats. Look what he's eating, you know, tiny, tiny piece of fish, a tiny piece of this. Kedei lehischabed ulehis yakir al yedei zeh. In order to draw honor and to be looked up to because of this, because they see that this is something popular. They see that this is what people are attracted to. People like to see a performance. They like to see somebody who can put on such an exhibition, like to, as if he can get along with so little. Mamish, he's like Moshe Rabbeinu. He can get along like Moshe Rabbeinu went up to heaven 40 days, 40 nights and existed without food. Look at him. He's also existing almost on zero food. Look how little he eats. But they're doing it not for the right intentions. And because he acts in this way, they accept him as a Rebbe, as a leader. When they watch this person and they see how little he eats, and they see how refined he is, mamish, you know, he takes the tiniest piece with a fork and with a chen shel sheker, with a false type of chen. This isn't the beauty, the real regal beauty that you see by true tzaddikim. This is ape. This is somebody who's making believe he's a tzaddik. He's making believe he's close to Hashem and he's very spiritual, and that's why he's doing this. Asher be'emes, Adayin lo yischilu leilech bedarkei Hashem. Whereas in reality, some of these people haven't even begun serving Hashem properly. Vadayin lo yinogu b'hakedusha b'atoyrak doysha klal. They haven't even started tasting what it is to really serve Hashem properly and to really fulfill the mitzvahs of the Torah properly. Vadayin lo yischilu l'shaber shum taiva u'mido klal. They haven't even started to attempt to get rid of their physical desires, to overcome their taivas for kovoid, for money, for food, for noshim, all of these things. Vegama filu taivas achila adayin lo yischilu leshaber klal. And even taivas achila, but at least look how little he's eating. You see, at least that he's in control of. Rav Nosson says, not true. They have not succeeded in overcoming the taivas achila. Rak mematim b'achila b'shvil kovoid. It's just a matter if he knows that if he eats little, he's going to get $100,000. People are going to give him pidyonos. They're going to give him big, big monies. He's willing to do it for the money and the kovoid. It's a matter of choosing your taivas. Everybody, and what do I want more? Do I want respect? Or do I want to get fat? Or do I want a steak? Which many people are willing to forgo the minimal, the 10, 15 minute pleasure at a steak for 10 years of being looked up to and respected and treated mamish like he's Hashem's assistant. V'chol zeh v'yoser mizeh Merumos bedivrei Rabbeinu Zal b'hamay sahanal. And Rabbi Nosson Zal says, all of this that we described here, and more than this, is what's hinted to in the story over there in Sipurei Maaseis, b'hakat shetov boi, regarding that group who were mistaken about a particular individual, u'bocharu lehem, sheroi lekabel ha-melech, mi sheyesh lo shefa mezoinos harbe. They chose as their leader a person who has a lot of wealth and a lot of food, but still he chooses not to eat regular foods like other people, ice cream and cake and rak mi mezoinos dakin, but rather to eat only the finest of foods, very, very fine and refined. And Rav Nosson Zal adds one word here, v'hovein. Understand what I'm saying here. Because Rav Nosson Zal was addressing an issue that was prevalent during his time until today. That we know that in order for there to be bechira, we know that the basis of the whole creation and the whole importance of mankind, what makes us so important to Hashem, is the fact that we have bechira. We have free choice, which nobody else and nothing else in creation has this. Not the birds, not the trees, not the angels, nobody, only human beings have bechira. And in order for there to be bechira, there has to be what choices, that a person has choices presented to them that seem equal, that look the same. And the person has to be very, very smart and very privileged to be able to choose the right thing. And this is one of the examples where Rav Nosson Zal described here that the great, great tzaddikim carry on in a certain way. You have phonies and fakers who carry on in a very, very similar way, very similar. And many, many people get caught up. They see this and they say, wow, he must be a big tzaddik. Look, look, you see what a tzaddik is. And look how refined he looks. And look, mamash, you see the shechina on his face. How do you know the Shekhinah? You saw the Shekhinah? You have a picture, you have video of the Shekhinah to know that he's got the Shekhinah? People talk like that. That became a normal way people think that they know what light is and they know what the Shekhinah is. And they see a person who seems to be carrying on like a big tzaddik and they assume he must be. And especially if he's got so many people around him, they can't all be wrong, can they? I mean, everybody, if he's got so many people, then there must be something to it. And they don't realize that we're in an olam hasheker, that this is a topsy-turvy world. That's how the Gemara defines it. And just because something seems a certain way, looks a certain way, that's not a proof yet that that's what it is. Because the Satan is called a koif, an ape, a monkey. That's his gift. He's counterfeit. He's sheker. He has the ability to make sheker look like emes and emes look like sheker. The Gemara talks about the Yanai HaMelech, that when he was about to die, he spoke to his wife and he told her there's three kinds of people. Two of them, you have no problem with them. The third one, you got to be very, very careful. Tzadikim, no problem. Rishoim, no problem. Tzvuim, that's your problem. Phonies, fakers. People who make believe it's that they make believe they're your friends when they're not really your friends. That's where you're going to have to be extremely, extremely careful. Paragraph Zion, V'chein hakat she'omru she'melitza v'dibur hu hatachlis. Now we have another group that's mentioned in that story over there, where this group, they came to the conclusion that the most important thing in life is a person who has the ability to speak in a manner that's beautiful, eloquent speech and beautiful speech, where people are very, very impressed with how this person can present something. They can speak in a manner that can bring up emotions in people, all kinds of things. Dahainu, meaning yeda kama l'shoinois, a person who's well-versed in many languages, v'yeh melitz noe, and not just languages, but vocabulary, and he knows mamish how to present things in such a way eloquently. He knows how to make people cry, how to make people laugh, and how to inspire it with his words, with his speech, through a power of speech. Ze hatos mavur gam ken ktsas. Rav Nosson says this mistake, we can also understand a little bit where it comes from in Kedusha. Ki yodua es kol ha-maisa hora ha-naase tachas ha-shemesh achshov al yidei ha-malitzim ha-poishim. Rav Nosson says, because it's known the terrible evil that's going on now on earth by these wicked super rishoim who specialize in malitza. That's their thing. They know how to talk well. They're slick talkers. He's talking about the whole reform movement that started around the time of Rabbeinu Zal, where these people, these were Jews who were intelligent and intellectuals, and they wanted bedafka. They didn't want to be like the old-fashioned Jews who speak Yiddish or speak the language of the Jews. They made a point of learning the secular languages, whether it was Russian or Polish, those languages at the time, because they wanted to be able to assimilate with the other nations. They don't want to live in ghettos. We don't want to live underground. We want to be people like everybody else. We want to be able to go to restaurants. We want to be able to go to theaters like them. And they specialized in this kind of melitza. As we find Rabbeinu Zal said in a very sharp way when he was praising this quality of melitza and saying how special it is, how important it is, when Rabbeinu Zal finished talking about the qualities of melitza, he said, "Avol, however, yesh melitzim shem poishe Yisrael." There are speakers, people who are outstanding speakers, but they're poishe Yisrael. They're the worst sinners in Klal Yisrael. K'may shekosuv, as the pasuk says in Yeshaya chapter 43, u'melitzayich poshubi. Your melitzim were poishea. Poishea means a person who commits sins to anger Hashem spitefully. Ki kol ha-mechakrim va-philosophim v'ha-pikursim, because all of these scientists, not philosophers, and these secular intellectuals, and apikursim, people who deny Hashem, rubam kekulam he-melitzim gedolim, the vast majority of them had the gift of words in speech or in writing. They were able to come up with beautiful, eloquent speeches, things that sound very intelligent. It sounds very smart. Ubocharu bedarkei hamalitza me'oid, lilmoid l'shoinois rabois uledaber tzachois, and they chose to specialize in literature and languages to be able to develop themselves to be very, very good talkers and writers and study many languages. Velios baloshen umelitz noah, and to have an incredible gift of speech, melitza, kiyodua umefursim kolze, as is very well known. Rav Nosson Zal says people know that that's their thing. That's what they, most of them, really went into heavily to develop that. Ubeemes bishoroshoi shebigdusha hamelitza toiv moid. Rav Nosson Zal says the real truth is that within holiness, melitza is something very special. For a person to have a gift of words, to know how to say something the right way, to bring the right results, is something very special. V'kasher shibech Rabbeinu Zal ba'atzma is hamelitza moed. As Rabbeinu Zal himself praised this melitza, saying that it's something very special. V'omar shehamelitza yesh loy koyach godol lo'oirer esodom. That if a person has this gift of melitza, if they know how to talk properly, they can turn people on. They can inspire people in an incredible, incredible way. We know that there are speakers and singers who, when they get up to talk, they can get people to cry or laugh. You know, they can take people who mamish are emotionless, people who are dead, you know, emotionally dead, and they can make them cry or laugh, all kinds of strong emotions. Vegam lemalo, and Rav Nosson Zal says, and so too in Shamayim, in heaven, Yecholim lifol lo'ore rachmem v'yeshua gedoyla al yidei hamalitza. A person can change Hashem kavyoch. He can change Hashem's decision. He can turn on Hashem. He can inspire Hashem kavyochel. He can arouse Hashem's rachmonas by saying the right words, by knowing what words to say. We see by Moshe Rabbeinu, when Hashem said, get out of my way, I'm going to destroy the Yidden. I'm going to wipe them out. Moshe Rabbeinu said he knew exactly which buttons to push. Hashem, he said to Hashem, okay, you're going to wipe them out. You're going to really feel good that you destroyed them. But you know what people are going to say? You know what Mitzrayim's going to say? They're going to say you're a liar. You said you're going to take him out. Say, look, he can't even keep his word. They're not going to say the Jews were bad. They're going to say you're a liar. That's what you want, Hashem? Moshe Rabbeinu was able to know what words to say, how to convince Hashem to use melitza. In every single case, exactly what words to say, to be able to put a spin, kavyocha, to be able to, that even though, that Hashem should say, solachti kidvorecha, I forgive them, kidvorecha, based on your words. You said the right words. He knew what magic to be able to put into his words, that his words should be able to bring out exactly the right result. I remember hearing from Reb Michal Zichron Avroch and other Rabbonim, the famous story about a person, a boy who was tremendous, tremendous Rosha, and he did all kinds of terrible things in his life, and the peak in his career was when he murdered his parents. He killed his parents. And finally they caught him and they put him in jail, and now they're going to put him on trial. They're going to put him on trial to see what they're going to do with this guy. And they bring him in front of the judge, and the whole courtroom's waiting to see what are they going to do. What do you do to such a... Imagine his own parents, his mother who carried him for 9 months, who gave him food, and the people who brought him into this world. The guy is such an evil, such an achzorius to murder them. And then they see he's got a defense attorney. Somebody's going to defend this guy. And they're thinking, what is this guy, nuts? What could you possibly say to defend such a person? And the guy gets up in front of the court and he says to the judge and to the jury, to all the people, I know that everybody here is really so angry and so upset and so hurt, and rightfully so, but I want to remind the judge, your honor, and all the people here who are all civilized people, all of us know, we've all been taught, that even though when any person does a terrible thing, we judge them by their actions, whenever we hear about a widow or an orphan is in a different category completely. An orphan has to be treated totally differently. In the Torah, it mentions so many times, Yosoim Valmona, Yo'idate, so many different psukim. And this man who is sitting in front of us today, all of us know that he has no parents, he's an orphan, and therefore I beseech the judge and everybody here to try to think about... You hear what this guy's saying? You hear what the guy's saying? He's trying to look for an akud, he's trying to say that he's a yasa. Ad kidei kach. And we know that there are places in this world, there are cults and other places like that where they brainwash people. They tell them all kinds of things. They program people to go ahead and kill their own parents, to do all kinds of crazy things by convincing them through melitza. It's all a matter of melitza, working on the person, brainwashing them and brainwashing them more and more and telling them all kinds of things to bring out certain kind of feelings in the person that could never have been done unless you had this person, this psychologist, who knows the psychology of a person, knows exactly what to say and when to say it and how to say it in order to bring about a certain reaction from a person, that the person can go ahead, Rachmona Litzlan, and burn down his own house, kill his kid, you know, doing incredible, crazy things like we've seen people do. So Rav Nosson Zal says here about even being able to be Ma'ir HaRachman by Hashem, Ki Omar, because Rabbeinu Zal said, Shegam hamalamed zchus lemalo, nikra al shem ze melitz, al shem hamalitza daika. That so too, when we talk about the heavenly court in Shamayim, the ones who defend Klal Yisrael, who defend a Jew, are called Melitzim, Melitz Yosher. When we go to Kivrei Tzadikim, when we go to a Tzadik, we ask him to be a Melitz Yosher for us, meaning to use Melitza to defend us, to help us. Because this defense, or this merit that the Tzadik is able to come up with about a person, if he were to say it just plain, regular, without making it mushy, without making it flowery and eloquent, he would not be able to arouse Hashem's rachmonis on that person if he says it dry. Because even without him coming and saying it, they know, people know that the merit or the good points. Ach ikar koichoi shalamalam et zchus lifo yishuv rachmim kwal yidei hamalitza. The main power of a lawyer, of an attorney, to be able to defend somebody is not just what he says, but how he says it. How he's able to say it in a certain way to push the right buttons in the judge. He knows this lawyer stayed up for a few hundred hours to do research on the judge, and he knows that this judge, his parents died when he was a kid and he suffered as an orphan, so he knows therefore that when this he's bringing up this criminal, anything he's going to want to say good about this person, he doesn't know if the judge is going to be affected by it. But if he reminds the judge, if he tells the judge that this guy, his parents died when he was a kid, and that's why you can understand that he's capable of doing things that other people can't, that kind of thing. He knows how to what to say and exactly when to say it and how to say it in such a way that it's going to bring about the most powerful effect on those that are listening. By saying it with real eloquence and saying it with heart, where it's not just words coming out of the mouth. The Gemara says, Dvorim hayoytzim en alev, nichnosim el alev. A person says something dry, it's one thing. A person says something with emotion, it's something totally different. Dehainu shematzia hadovor yofe, betainois nois unachoinois, ubediburim yofim, ubeblitza noa. He presents his case in a beautiful way, using beautiful arguments that are really, that are logical, that are strong, and with eloquent words. This gives a tzaddik, this can give a tzaddik the power even to affect a Yeshua in Shamayim. In a case where there's been a major gzardin issued against a person, or against a family, or against the community, if the tzaddik knows, has this koyach hamalitza, he knows how to stand in front of Hashem and be able to defend that person, be able to be moira rachmim in the eyes of Hashem, to bring out Hashem's deepest feelings of kindness, to remind Hashem and of how Hashem really doesn't want to destroy this person. I remember hearing a story when I was a bocher in yeshiva. One of the rebbes who had... This Rebbe, when he would teach us in yeshiva, at the end of the day sometimes, he would tell us to put our hand behind his shirt to feel how his shirt was soaked, that he put such koiches when he would teach the Gemara, the Chumash. He wasn't teaching with his mouth. He was mekayim kol atzmoisai toimarno Hashem yikamoicha. He was so animated and so alive, he put his whole self into the teaching, that mamash he was schwitzing, sweating, his shirt was soaked at the end of the day. So one time he told us a story about a parent who had an only child, a father, and the mother passed away, and the only child who he raised, and the father, Nebuchadnezzar, became blind in his older years, and they only had this child later on in life. So this child turned 12 or 13 years old when the father was already an older person. And the most difficult thing for him possible was to be separated from this child. But they told him that in the summertime, it's dangerous for a kid to be around, you know, in the city. There's all kinds of bad things going on. They have these camps, machne kayitz, you know, that they send kids to, where the boys are together in a good religious environment and everything. And even though it's going to be so hard for you to separate from your son, for his benefit, you have to do it. You really need to do it. So even though Mamash had killed him to do it, he decided he has to do it. So the boy goes away to camp, and in those days it was before cell phones and faxes and emails and Z-mails. In those days it was a normal life where people, the only way to communicate was people would write a letter. You went away to camp, you wanted to communicate with your parents, you had to write a letter. And then put it in the mailbox, and it took a few days. And so the father told his son, please, when you get to camp, please write me a letter. I can't wait to hear from you. You know, you know how difficult it is for me to be separated from you even for a second. So the boy goes away, and 10 minutes after he gets on the bus to leave, the father's already looking in the mailbox to see if he got any letters yet from his son. He's so anxious and everything. And you could imagine a day goes by, 2 days, 3 days. Mamish's heart is going. Finally, he gets a letter. There's a letter in the post office box. So he can't read it. The father can't read. So he calls in a neighbor to ask the neighbor to read the letter for his son. So the neighbor comes in, and this neighbor happened to be a person with already very gruff nature, very unemotional, very dry. This person reads the letter, and he says, "Dear Dad, you know, I got to camp, and things are okay here. I need sneakers. You forgot to send me sneakers. I need this. The father's listening to this, and he can't believe his ears. What happened to his Maishala? What happened to his sweet little boy who always used to talk to him so sweetly and everything? And here he's right, he became a monster. He went away for a couple of days, and he sounds like a hooligan, you know, right? All he writes is, I need this, give me that. He can't believe his ears. Mamash. And he's afraid to say anything to the neighbor because he's embarrassed. But the neighbor leaves, and the father's in tears. He's crying his heart out. What happened? I made such a mistake. I knew I shouldn't have listened. I shouldn't have sent him. Look what happened to him. Look at what happened to my Moshele and everything. And the father's sitting like this for a couple of days. Mama, she's in pieces. And then he starts thinking to himself, but it's hard to believe. It's hard to believe that in a couple of days, my son changed so much. I know he would never talk to me that way. Never in a million years. He decides he's got to call in a neighbor again. But this time he's going to call in a different neighbor, somebody else. Who knows? Maybe the first guy can't read. Who knows what happened here? So he calls in a different neighbor. And this neighbor is a Jew with a Jewish heart, with a Yiddish heart. This neighbor takes out the letter, and he sees it's a letter that a son is writing to a father. A son doesn't write to a father. Dear Daddy, you know, he starts reading the letter as if he's performing in front of 60,000 people. He's reading it with all heart and all. And he starts reading the letter, and the father starts crying, and he says, that's my Moshe. I knew it couldn't be. It couldn't be. And this is the same exact letter. This is, you know, again, emotional. The same exact letter. Two people read it totally differently. Comes up with a completely opposite interpretation. And here Rabbeinu Zal told us, there are many people who say that they daven to Hashem, I daven for something and nothing's happening. So either Hashem is sleeping or he's on vacation, or there is no Hashem, chas v'shalom. And they don't know that even in davening, it's not so simple. It's not so poshut. A person needs to know how to say it. And that's something that most of us don't really know that well. The great tzaddikim are the ones that know. This is why Dovid HaMelech wrote this Sefer Tehillim. This is why Rav Nosson Zal gave us a Sefer Likutei Tefilos, to teach us, to give us an idea how to speak to Hashem, to know that there's a way to talk to Hashem. You have to know what to say in the beginning, what to say in the middle, and how to present your case in a way that Hashem will be interested, to get Hashem interested in what you want to say. Just like Lahavdil, a person's writing a letter, a story. Today, most people, you show something to somebody, they read the first two lines. If it's not interesting, they throw it in the garbage. I, the kasha, it's 30 pages. What do you mean? You're going to, just because the first two lines, read the whole thing. I'm not going to read nothing in the toilet. They're not interested. You have to make sure that your opening words, to say the right thing right in your opening words, to know how to open a conversation with Hashem, what words to say. A person says, Hashem, I need this. Hashem, what are you, nut? The chutzpah. This idiot did 30,000 averis. It's 9 o'clock in the morning, and he did 30,000 averis, and he has nothing to talk to me about what he wants to give me a list of what he needs. Whereas if this person would have known that the first thing to say to Hashem is good morning. Hashem, thank you that I'm alive. Thank you. I can't believe I'm still in the world. I can't believe I did so many terrible things and I'm still breathing. I can't believe that lightning didn't strike me and everything, because I know that's what I really deserve. To know how to speak to Hashem, that itself, the tzaddikim are the ones who really know that. Now again, this isn't an excuse. So people will hear this, they'll say, ha-ha, so then forget the hisbayta, this business. If I surely don't know how to talk. Rabbeinu Zal told us that when it comes to small children, we know that when they have a kid who's 2-3 years old, and the kid says, bala mula, and the mother says, oh, he's asking for the vanilla pudding. And the brother, what are you, nuts? He said, bala, that's vanilla. Yeah, I know when he says bala, that's what he means. He can't talk that well yet, but I know, he's my son, so of course I know. Rabbeinu Zal says the same thing is with us. That if a person realizes that he's a child, if a person comes to Hashem like a big shot, that he's a big shot, he's driving a car already, he's who knows who he is, and he's talking to Hashem like he's his sister or like he's his baby brother, so then Hashem analyzes the words, and if the words aren't the right kind of words, Hashem throws it away. But if a person comes to Hashem like a dal, like an evyon, like a person who has, like a small child, and then the person, what they're saying isn't so perfect. When it comes to a child, the pasuk says, "Vidigloi olai ahava." It says, the Gemara says, "Viligluglo'i olai ahava." Liglug means when a person stutters, when they can't talk straight, you almost can't understand what they're saying. Hashem says, "They're stuttering. I enjoy. I love it." Meaning, even when they come to me and they talk in a way that doesn't make any sense, because they're so beloved to me, because they're my grandchildren. Again, the difference between a child and a grandchild. A grandchild, the parent sees a grandchild, and whatever he wants, whatever, if he says it right or he says it, doesn't matter. Person comes to Hashem with that kind of shiflus and anova, that also adds a lot to the equation. So here Rav Nosson Zal says, V'chein lemato. That, so first, Rav Nosson Zal spoke about in Shamayim, how it makes a very, very big difference how a person presents his case. And this is why when Rabbeinu Zal spoke about his hisbeidus, Rabbeinu Zal emphasized this. When you're talking to Hashem and you want to ask Hashem for something, you better be able to convince Hashem why Hashem should give it to you. You better be able to give Hashem good arguments and good explanations to convince Hashem. What do you mean, convince? I'm going to convince Hashem? Yeah, you better. Because if you don't convince him, he's going to ignore you. Or the thousands of malachim, the mekatrigim that you created with your averos, are going to stand and say, what's this guy, crazy? He's got the chutzpah to ask for things after all the terrible things he did. So a person, one of the avoidus and hisbeidus is to beg Hashem, show me how to talk. Hashem sfosai tiftoch. Hashem, put the words in my mouth. Give me the right words to say that should have this melitza to it. V'chein lemato. And so too down below on earth. Royim b'chush koyach hamelitza. Rav Nosson Zal says, we see in life how powerful this thing melitza is. Ki im hoyu oimrim lo'odom stam, sheplaini meis, lo yisur kol kach livko is harbe. If we go over to somebody and tell him your uncle died, he won't necessarily start crying. Aval im yo'iru alov, bederech hamalitza, lehatzia hadover ularchivoi, but if the person comes to the funeral home and the right speaker gets up there, you get the right person gets up there, and starts talking, and starts reminding the people of who this uncle was, what kind of person he was, that this person did things that nobody else could do. And the people start feeling, he turns on their hearts, And then he says, and now what a loss this is, that we've lost a person like this. There's nobody like him. 1,000 people today can't do what he did. Suddenly you see people there who couldn't cry in 1 billion years, and they're crying. They're sitting there crying because he touched a nerve. He was able to touch the nerve. He was able to touch their hearts. The person starts saying, "Kama noa hayodom zeh." How what an incredible, beautiful person this was. The kamanoe masav, and the things this person did that was so special, ukiyotze boze, derech hamalitzim, oz yesh koyach haide hamalitza, lo'oirer uleshaber leiv ha'odam oid. We see people who make hespedim, eulogies, those who are really qualified, they're able to turn on the people in such a way to break their hearts, that even if a person has a heart of stone, the stone gets crushed, and the person cries. Rachman al they really cry. Kol ze shamanu mipi Rabbeinu Zal. All this we heard from Rabbeinu Zal, that Rabbeinu Zal wanted to give us an idea how special this inyan of Melitza is. V'achar kach siyem, and after Rabbeinu Zal presented all the good things about Melitza, after that he said, Aval yesh melitz shehu poishe Yisrael. But there's the other side. There's those shakronim, those tzvuim. There are melitzim, people who can also speak mamish, they can speak, they can turn on a whole crowd, but they are poishe Yisrael, the worst sinners. Bechinas umelitzayach poshubi. Vehine inyin ze shel ma'ilas hamelitza hu nitzrach ma'oid lechol odom hechofetz chayim amitiyim venitzchiyim. Horoitze lo geshes el hakodesh leilech bedarchi Hashem lo shevel esbarach. Rav Nosson Zal says, the importance of melitza, to know how to talk, to know how to say something the right way, is something that's critical. It's necessary for any person who wants to be zeichet to live a true life, who wants to be zeichet to Olam Haba, who wants to be zeichet to come close to Kedusha, to go in the Derech Hashem, to be zeichet to return to Hashem. Asher ho'etza ha'klolius, shehu yesoid kol ho'etzos, whereby the most important advice, the most important idea that's koilel all the etzos of Kedusha, asher exactly, hu hesboiridus, v'asicha bein oil v'in koinoi, is to speak to Hashem in your own words, privately. Kimavur etzleinu kam upon him, as has been explained and elaborated on in our teachings in many places. Dahainu, what are we talking about? Sheyargil atzmoi b'chol yoim leilech lemokoi meyuchod, for the person to be in the habit every single day, not once a month, not once a year, but bekvias, to be koivea itim, every single day to go to a special place, the place that he uses for his boydet, lehizboydetshom, to spend time alone with Hashem. Bodad means alone, privately with Hashem. Ulefarish sichose lefonav yisborach, kashe yedaber ish el reyehu, and to pour out his heart to Hashem like he would talk to a best friend, to a person who's the closest person possible to him, that he feels comfortable really opening his heart up and telling the person everything that's inside, everything that's bothering him, everything that's hurting him, everything that's troubling him. Ulaharbois betainois vehaftsorois ubakoshois upiyusim beloshin shemedabrimboi. And in the hispoidus, a person has to have a lot of arguments and pleadings and appeasements to be able to appease Hashem. Pius, lefayes, means that if I know Hashem has very good reason to be angry at me, I have to figure out what to say to lessen that anger, that he shouldn't be so angry at me. What words can I say? What can I possibly to say to Hashem to defend myself? That Hashem shouldn't be so angry at me. Beloshen Hashem edabrem boy. And to say this in your language, whether it's French, English, Spanish, whatever is Yiddish, whatever is the language that person is most comfortable in. Dahinu b'mdina seinu, b'loshna ashkenaz, shona b'ramboi, meaning in our countries, in Yiddish, which is the language that we speak. And to beg, sheyazreyu Hashem yizborach, to beg Hashem to help him, v'yizakeu lo shuv mimais of haroim, and that Hashem should give me the privilege to go away from all the bad things that I'm doing, ula hiskare ve'lov yisporach, and to come close to Hashem. Ula inyan zeh, and regarding this issue of hispoiridus, hu davar godol inyan hamalitza. It makes a big difference if a person has this koyach hamalitza, if a person knows how to say it in a way that can turn Hashem on, in a way that can get Hashem to cry, to make Hashem cry with him. Dahainu sheyar gilatzmoy leharchiv sichosoy. Meaning, Rav Nosson Zal says, that a person has to train himself not to say, Hashem, please help me, I need a car, I need a book, Hashem, have a nice day, goodbye. Not to talk two, three sentences, but leharchiv sichosoy, to be able to talk for 10 minutes, for 20 minutes, for an hour, for hours. Ulaharbois betainois, to be able to come up with many arguments, not just one argument. You're trying to convince Hashem, just like a lawyer convinces a judge. He presents 10 different arguments because he figures even if this one won't work, maybe this one. Maybe two, three things together will be able to push it through. Ulevakesh limtsoi biat latsmoi b'chol pam divrei tachnunim upiyusim chadoshim. And the person has to try every day to come up with new arguments and new reasons why Hashem should help me, why Hashem should bring me close to him. V'tainois nois, and beautiful arguments. V'divrei hisoirus shel rachamim harbe, and words of inspiration that can bring out a lot of rachmonis. K'derech hamaftzirim, like those people who specialize in this, they specialize in presenting a case. We know, flahavdil, We have whole professions of lawyers, of speakers, lecturers, and we have, for example, grant writers. There are organizations, whole organizations, thousands of organizations in the world, which their purpose is to give away money. That's what they do. These organizations are founded many times by a rich person or rich people who have millions or billions of dollars that they've set aside for charitable purposes. And in order to receive charity, you gotta fill out a form, you gotta fill out a paper that says what you do and to explain why you feel you deserve to get money. Why should they give you money when you're one of 1,000 or 100,000 people that are applying for that money? You want money? So does Beryl, so does Shmerel, so does Yankel. So everybody wants money. Why should I give it to you instead of him? And why should I give you $1 million instead of $18? Why should it? Manishtana, what's special about you? What's special about your cause? And there are people who are trained in this, that they study these foundations, they study, and they know exactly what they're looking for, and they know exactly what words to say and how to say it in a way that, they read this person. Oh, this is exactly the kind of place we're looking to give our money to. Lahavdil. Kederech haboim lefnei malochim v'shoiftim, as is the custom of those people who come before government leaders, before kings or governors or presidents, or v'shoiftim, where they go before judges, lehischanein al nafshom, to plead for their lives, kisheyoidim biatzmam shehem chayovim, when the person knows himself that he's guilty, he knows he's wrong, v'heim boim lefaisam, and now he's standing in front of the judge or in front of the king, and he has to try to appease the king. He has to try to get the king to be willing to forgive him or to be willing to see that it's not what he thought it is. She'oz migoidel merirus nafsham yoytse milibo memela divrei tachnunem apiusim harbe. Rav Nosson Zal says these people who are in such deep trouble and they're so beaten up and everything, because they're in such a state of bitterness and brokenheartedness, the words that come out of their heart are coming so much from the heart, tachnunim and piyusim, ad shelefa'omim me'orim lev hamelech o yashoifet, where sometimes their words can touch the heart of the judge or the king, ad shemaschil livkoy simoim gamkein, to the point where they get the judge to cry. The judge is sitting there, and the judge can't help but cry at hearing the bitterness, the kind of bitter life that this person has led, that led him to steal or to make this mistake, to do this terrible thing that he did. When the person starts explaining to the judge what he's been through in life, the judge cries and the judge apologizes. We're so sorry that instead of helping you, we put you in jail, we brought you here, instead of us realizing that it's our fault, it's the community's fault, that we don't take care of such kids, we don't help such people. That's what, it's not he's bad, we're the ones who are, we belong in prison. The judges and the lawyers belong in jail for not having cared enough about kids like this or people like this who need love and they need, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Through the incredible rachmonis that they're able to bring up, because they spoke a lot, they spoke about, they presented their case really well. Because Rav Nosson Zal says, when it comes to talking to Hashem, shehu ikar hatachlis ho'emes, this is the most important thing, in, really the most important thing in life. Where through speaking to Hashem, a person is supposed to be zoiche to eternal life, and to be saved from all kinds of terrible things in this world. In order to have exploited this properly, a person has to really be able to talk a lot, and to present his case in orange, purple, red, green. You don't know what color turns Hashem on. So you got to be able to know how to present every different color in the world and every argument in the world, every way possible, till you'll touch Hashem's heart. Tchinois ubakoshois v'ritzuyim upiyusim v'avtzorois v'rachmonois v'chanino v'tainois ukiyotzu b'zeharbe. Every different possible kind of way. And Rav Nosson Zal says every single different type of speech is all included under this one umbrella term called Melitza. That's this word Melitz. That's what Melitz means. A person who has this gift of knowing exactly what to say and how much to say and when to be able to bring about the right results. All of this originates from the highest level of spirit melitza, shemishom yosa dovra melech olashon sefer tehillim beruach kotshoi. And that's how Dovra Melech designed his sefer tehillim, with ruach hakodesh, shezocha alidei ruach kotshoi lemelitza digdusha beemes. Dovra HaMelech, because he reached such a madrega of Ruach HaKodesh, Hashem gave him this unbelievable gift of knowing how to say things in a way that those words can touch Hashem's heart the most, to be able to get a person a refuah, parnasa, shidduch, anything that a person needs. Those words of Tehillim are written with such unbelievable power of Melitza that they can bring out the best in Hashem. And they can take a person who has 100 gzeiros against him and be able to dissolve all the gzeiros. Ad shezocha shesifre HaKadosh Sefer Tehillim kolul mikol l'shoinois hamalitza dikdusha. Dovra HaMelech, through all of his avodas Hashem and his ruach HaKadosh, was zoicha that in his Sefer Tehillim are found all the different possible l'shoinois of malitza, of kedusha. V'alkein be'emes yesh loy koyach godoy lo'ira lev hodom u'lo'ira rachmim hel yoinim kishayim l'moysoy be'kavon asalev. And this is why the Sefer Tehillim has an unbelievable power to turn on a person, that if a person says Tehillim for real, if a person says Tehillim bekavona salev, not he says it for real like he means it. He realizes every letter here is holy. And even if he understands the meaning of the words he's saying, then that for sure is good. But even if he doesn't understand the meaning, if he says the words with faith, I believe that every letter here is something kodesh, it's something holy. And even though I don't understand what it says, I know that this is ktoiris, this is karbonis, this is the highest level speech that a person could possibly say. There's a story that I heard when I first came to Breslov, here in Yerushalayim, from Rabbi Chaim Reusen, Zichron Levrucha. He said that there was a ger tzedek that came to Breslov, you know, in the city of Uman. He came to the city of Uman, and he hadn't learned Chumash, and hadn't learned Mishnayis, and hadn't learned Gemara. He was just in the beginning stages. He just became Jewish, you know, starting to learn. And they would see him, they got him tefillin, and, you know, and they saw him in shul, davening shachris, you know, sitting when they were davening shachris. And when the people, when they got up to Ahava Soilam, Ahava Rabba, right before Shmon Esrei, when they got to that paragraph, they saw him crying buckets. They saw him crying and crying and crying. So one person got curious after a while and decided he has to ask him. He said, I know you haven't studied the writings of the Arizal, or I know that you don't, you know, you don't really know what you're saying there. What are you crying about? What you know? He said, you're right, it's true. I don't know the meaning of the words at all. But I watched Rav Avraham Barab Nachman, I watched the Bir Likutim, and I saw that when he got to this part, he really cried. So I know that there must be a lot of hidden treasure here. I know there's a lot of good stuff here. So that's why I cry. No, this is the tahana. This is the place to really pour it on. And this is an example of a person who had a tmimus, a sincerity, that even though he himself didn't know, but he had enough faith that he saw this tzaddik, he knew that this guy was the real deal. And if he's crying over here, then I know this is the place to cry. And this person was able to bring up the emotions in his heart just on faith alone, emuna, that the emunas tzaddikim, that if he's crying, this is the place to cry, and ad kedei kach. So here we're told, Rav Nosson Zal is telling us that the Sefer Tehillim is nuclear. You have no idea what this is. This is all Ruach HaKodesh. Every letter there is a cannonball. It's a hydrogen bomb. Every letter, and if you say it with feeling, if you say it like you believe it's special, you have no idea how this could change you. Number one, Rav Nosson says the first thing it'll do is Le'oire Lev Ha'adam, that the person will inspire, he will awaken inside of himself feelings for Hashem, feelings for Kedusha that he never knew he had. The person thought that he was dead. His neshama was dead and buried and finished with. And if the person starts saying Tehillim the right way, suddenly he's going to discover it's not dead. It's a lie. My Yetzara tried to convince me my neshama was dead. Dead people don't cry. Dead people don't feel what I'm feeling now. I'm starting to feel feelings that I never felt before just by saying these words. That's le'oire lev ha'adam u'le'oire rachmim hu'elyoinim. And to turn on Hashem's kindness. Kishe'oimre mo'isei bekavona salev. Again, if the person says it seriously. Seriously, not like he's doing it to be yoytze. There are people who know when you're sick, you're supposed to say Tehillim. So I said it. I said Tehillim. I said Shiramales mimamakim ba 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 ba. Have a nice day, Hashem. You say it that way. Of course, it's not necessarily gonna bring about any nuclear reaction. But if the person says it seriously, that he knows he's holding a nuclear weapon in his hand, he knows this thing can wipe out the whole, they're talking about planes and all kinds of toys. We have an army and that they want to draft all the religious people, that they should play with toys, with airplanes and boats, just like all the little kids do that. They play with planes and bang, it makes a pow, and this one makes a bigger pow. And they don't know the real weapons. They don't know that the real arsenal of weapons is in the Shafa. Those Tehillims there are a billion times more powerful than the phantom jets and this thing and Achminajah, all of this baby stuff, all of this shtuyot. So now Rav Milstein says, "Vehine machma shebekdusha." Maybe we'll hold it over here. It's late. We'll hold it over here. We'll stop here for now. Sure. Still has